Galatians chapter 6. A very important truth this morning from the Apostle Paul as he was winding up the book of Galatians. In Galatians, Paul had to correct a lot of false teaching, of course, especially from people coming in that were Judaizers trying to convince the Christians that they had to keep the law after they were Christians. And in some of the times, Paul had to defend his own apostleship. And so he, after doing all that, he explains here that we have to be careful about who gets all the glory. Amen? So notice he says in verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So God forbid that I should glory. That's our title this morning. Heavenly Father, use your word in our hearts today. Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity to assemble and open your word together. And we want to honor you and your word. And pray the Holy Spirit would now use it in each of our lives. So we thank you for this privilege and give you the service. And may you be glorified in it. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. God forbid that I should glory. What a thing to say. Remember, Paul, God called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles, the greatest church planter that ever lived. And Paul also, from an earthly point of view, had a lot of talents, gifts, skills, whatever you want to call them. He could speak multiple languages. He had been trained under very well-known, famous Jewish leaders in the scriptures. He was obviously very good at what he did. But he also was also very careful to always give God the glory. Because God did a lot through Paul, didn't he? You and I wouldn't be here today, I believe, if it wasn't for Paul and his focus on getting the gospel to the Gentiles. But we, at the same time, God's going to use us. God's going to work miracles in our lives. And we need to be just as cautious as Paul was to always say, God forbid that I should glory. We never have a place to glory in anything, because anything that's accomplished, anything that's provided, anything that's done, it was of God. So let's go to Jeremiah 9 and just look at some scriptures about this very important truth today. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Notice the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So he points out the very things that men tend to glory in: wisdom, might, and riches. God says, don't do it. We're only to glory in him. And by the way, if you go to Isaiah 42, so while you're in the Old Testament, God makes a very interesting statement about his glory here that we all need to take heed to. Isaiah 42, verse 8. He says this a couple of times in Isaiah, but look what he says here. Isaiah 42, 8. I am the Lord. Remember, all caps means the Hebrew word Jehovah there. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. God doesn't share his glory. And God's not being selfish, he's being God. He's the only one that's holy. He's the only one that's righteous. He's the only one that's all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present. And he's the only one worthy of any glory. And so he clearly says, I will not give my glory to another. I'm not going to share it. And yet man tries, doesn't he? The devil tried. And that started the whole mess that we're in today with sin. What did he want more than anything but God's glory? He wanted the worship. He wanted the praise that God was receiving because he was the anointed cherub that covereth. He wanted glory. And he's been waiting, by the way, for centuries for the tribulation period, because for that short little time, the whole world is going to worship him as God. And for 7 short years, he will get what he's been wanting, only to then be cast into the bottomless pit and then the lake of fire. God will not share his glory. God says he is the only one worthy of glory. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? Glory of God. Everything that we do in this life should be to bring God glory. That's why we're here. We're here to bring him glory. And whenever we draw attention to ourselves, whenever we take the credit for things that God has done, we're walking on dangerous ground. God forbid that we would do such a thing. Any gifts that we have, go to 1 Corinthians 4:7. Any gifts or abilities that we have were given to us by God. The air that you breathe, God allows you to breathe it. And God could decide your time is up today. He is in control. He is God. He is the sovereign one. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You might have the amazing athletic ability. You might have amazing musical abilities. Maybe great leadership. Maybe you're wealthy. Whatever. But God says, whatever you have, you've received it. Because he gave it to you. He owns everything. Really, there's no such thing as a rich person because God owns it. He's just allowing them to be a steward of those things. Money, possessions, abilities, gifts, it doesn't matter. It all belongs to God. And so anything that's accomplished, God did it through us. And God is therefore the one who deserves the glory. Now, in describing man's glory, go to 1 Peter 1:24. This is God speaking about our glory. And you know, when you boil down our sin problems, a lot of times you're going to find that pride is one of the underlying issues in a lot of our sin. Now, the reason for that is because that was the original sin of the devil, was pride, wanting God's glory. But here's God describing man's glory, 1 Peter 1:24. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So God compares us to grass, which is pretty insignificant. He compares our glory to the flower of the grass. You know, if we don't mow it for a while, sometimes some of it grows a little tiny flower on top. That's our glory. There for a short time, we mow it down. That's what God compares our glory to. When John the Baptist came on the scene, you talk about someone who had a place to glory. Here's a man that the Bible actually prophesied of, a man that miraculously was allowed to be the earthly cousin of Jesus Christ and was given this amazing ministry of introducing Jesus Christ, which is what he did. But very early in his ministry, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. Very early in his ministry, he realized, I'm just the messenger. Because people would come to him and say, what about this? Or why are you baptizing? What about Jesus? And he would always say, I'm not even worried that to tie his shoes or to latch his sandals. I'm just a sinner like the rest of you. So don't give me any glory. Give it all to Jesus Christ. And that should always be our attitude. That was John's attitude. That was Paul's attitude. and it should be our attitude. So God forbid that I should glory, verse 14 of our passage, Galatians 6, save in the cross. God says, if you're going to glory in something, there it is, glory in the cross. The sacrificial offering of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that, it's okay to glory in. Because it was God making the sacrifice. You know, the Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory, due his name, in Psalm 29:2. And it's only because of the cross that we can glory in the Lord, isn't it? Think about it. If it wasn't for the cross, we'd be going to hell. And we couldn't do anything about it. But because of the cross, we're going to heaven, hallelujah. And we're new creatures in Christ, and God is so good to us. But that's all because of the cross. And Paul says, if you're going to glory in something, glory in what God did at Calvary. Because the cross represents for us as Christians so much. And he goes on to say, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so as we reflect on what God did at Calvary, look what he did. First of all, he crucified the world to me through the cross. In other words, I am now crucified. My old man has been crucified. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, right in Galatians 2:20. He also said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. We are dead. Our old man's dead. Go to Romans 6 and God explains it for us, Romans 6:6. But as we think about the cross and what it means, Paul says, we can glory in the cross because what the cross is saying is that our old man has been crucified. And that's something to say, praise God for. That's something to give God glory for. Notice Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Our old man has been crucified. That's something to glory in. Amen. God crucified the old man. Praise the Lord. By whom the world is crucified unto me. In other words, even though I live in this wicked world, which has the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and so much wickedness around, my old man's been crucified. I now have the Holy Spirit. And I can resist temptation. I can endure temptation because I have God to help me do it. But it's because of the cross. So he says, the world is crucified unto me. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, and I unto the world. So again, because I'm now dead, because my old man is dead, I've been crucified unto the world. I can stand and I can resist the temptation. You know, James said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We're going to have the temptations. But now we can endure them because we have the Lord to help us. But as we glory in the cross, we're glorying in the fact that we are dead. We are literally dead. Go to Colossians chapter 3 where God says this very clearly. But even Jesus, when he was on earth, he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He's talking about us. That we need to die to self to be fruitful for God. And that happens through Calvary. Notice Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Verse 3, for ye are dead. There it is. You're dead. He's talking to Christians. Because he just said up in verse 1, we're risen with Christ. So what happens is, before we're saved, our spirit is dead. But the old man is alive. So we can't communicate with God because our spirit's dead and we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we are going to hell. We're dead. All the dead are going to be cast into hell. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Once we get saved, now the old man's dead, but the spirit has life. That's why we call it being born again. We've been given new life, eternal life. And that old man has been crucified. And that's what Jesus meant. He said, unless you die to self, you can't be the fruitful Christian I want you to be. But the only way to die to self means that we get no glory. Amen? How can a dead man get glory? Only God deserves the glory. The Bible says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, in Galatians 5, verse 24. We've crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So we're here to show the world a crucified person. My old man has been crucified, so I can glory in Calvary, in what happened at Calvary. That the old man was crucified, and the new man, or the spirit of man, was given eternal life, all because of Calvary. And that's something that we can glory in. Now go back to our passage, moving on to verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. He's saying in Jesus, when it comes to heaven, our works mean absolutely nothing. Anything that we do or have done to the body, it means absolutely nothing as far as going to heaven. We're told in Titus 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. We all know that we're not saved by works, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We're not saved by works. And yet if you go to Romans 10, 3, we'll see that that's exactly what the world is trying to do, is earn heaven. Now if you think about that, think about the underlying problem with all of that. It is pride. There is complete absence of pride for a Christian to say, I'm going to heaven, and it's all because of God. All I did was believe. God did it all. God paid for my sins at Calvary. God rose again from the dead that I might have eternal life. And God is the one that gave me the righteousness of Christ. God did it all. So God gets all the glory. Christians don't believe they're going to heaven because they're better than other people. They believe they're going to heaven because Jesus allowed us to go to heaven. Amen? And that's the only reason. But the world wants to earn heaven. Because there's pride involved in that, isn't there? If you can do enough good works or not do enough bad works or however you want to look at it, if you can follow the list of rules or regulations well enough to get yourself to heaven, there's a lot of pride in that because you can look back and say, I did it. I earned it. I made it. Look what I did. Look what I earned. Poor old Howard. He was just one work short. But I got there. That's all about me, me, isn't it? That's all pride. But when we get to heaven, we're not going to do any of that, are we? We're going to fall on our faces and say, thank you, Jesus. Because you made it possible for me to be here. I had nothing to do with it. Because my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the Bible says. So that's what he means when he says, doesn't matter whether you're circumcised, doesn't matter whether you're uncircumcised. None of that matters. You cannot earn heaven. The only thing that matters when it comes to getting to heaven, verse 15 of our passage, you got to be a new creature. Neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. The only thing that avails anything is you got to be born again. That's what Jesus said, right? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You got to be a new creature to get to heaven. Go to 2 Corinthians 4, if you would, verse 7. And so what God is teaching us is it's all of Him and it's all about Him. Therefore, He is the only one that deserves any glory for anything that happens in our lives. And that we need to be careful. As Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 talks about this. Look what it says. It's a very interesting verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, the power may be of God and not of us. We have this amazing treasure of salvation in a vessel made of dirt. That's what it says, isn't it? And that's what we are. We're just a pile of dirt with some water mixed in. So where does an earthen vessel, where does just a little piece of clay have a right to glory in anything? That's what God is saying. We don't. The treasure is in an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power, in other words, that the one who gives the power and the one who therefore should get all the excellent glory, it may be of God and not of us. And so whenever something is accomplished, say you win someone to the Lord, say you have an opportunity to serve God in some way and great things happen, only God gets the glory. If you try to take any of it, that's just, like I said, it's dangerous ground. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for this very thing, didn't he? They're in Matthew 6. So they make long prayers. They disfigure their faces when they're fasting. You know what he said about it? He said they have their reward. They got what they were after, which is the praise of man. Show me in the scripture where we're to seek the praise of man. You're not going to find a verse. We're out to give him glory. Full stop. That's why we're here. Everything that we do should be to bring glory to God. And we must be a new creature to get to heaven, but we also must be a new creature to properly bring glory to God. And if you're here today and you're a new creature, you're here to give glory to God. And as Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything that I've accomplished, anything that I've done, God gets all the glory. You know, when we get to heaven, are we going to try to be like the man in Matthew 7 who says, Lord, I've cast out devils in your name. And I prophesied in your name, and I've done many wonderful works in your name. Lord, look at all, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And Jesus says to that man there in Matthew 7, depart from me. I never knew you. Doesn't matter. People often mention people like Mother Teresa and all the wonderful works that she did. Great. Those works mean absolutely nothing when it comes to getting to heaven. They're just filthy rags. We won't say any of that, will we? We'll just fall on our faces and say, thank you, praise you. I don't know exactly what we'll say, but it will have nothing to do with us and our glory, will it? It'll have all to do with him and what he did. God forbid that I should glory. So be careful. The devil, especially Christians that have been saved a while, the devil oftentimes starts whispering in their ear and says, wow, look what you did. You're a pretty special Christian. You're one of those super Christians. You're better than other Christians. And once you start thinking that way, the devil has you right where he wants you. No, you're just a sinner saved by grace, like all of us, here to bring glory to only God. So let's do it. Whether therefore we eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, to all the glory of God. God forbid that I should glory. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the privilege of